Ringers. You're listening to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Martha Carney. The headlines.
The bid to host the 2026 World Cup has been won by a joint effort from the United States, Canada and Mexico. Games will be played at Mexico's Estadio Azul, Canada's BMO Field, and America's new Kim Jong-un Super Soccer and Slavery Mega Bowl.
Meghan Markle has been nominated for an Emmy Award for her performance in TV drama Suits and an Oscar for pretending not to hear that thing Prince Philip said at dinner.
J.D. Weatherspoon have announced plans to stop selling champagne, presumably because if you found yourself in a Weatherspoon's, there's very little cause for celebration.
After some decent friendly results, England's hopes of winning the World Cup in Russia were cruelly dashed by the tournament starting.
Low ticket sales have been blamed after the firm supplying beer for this weekend's Jezfest event said it wouldn't supply kegs, proving that Jeremy Corbyn can't run a piss-up even outside of a brewery.
On Wednesday night, five Labour MPs sensationally resigned their posts over Jeremy Corbyn's Brexit stance. Laura Smith, Jed Killen, Rosie Duffield, Ellie Reeves and Anna McMorrin. Yes, a regular who's that of British politics. And in Parliament, dozens of Scottish Nationalist MPs stormed out after leader Ian Blackford was ejected following a row with Speaker John Bercow. SNP leader Nicola Sturgeon joins us on the line now.
It's a constitutional crisis. To be cut off by the Speaker of the House in that manner is truly...
Order! Order! That's enough from you. You're ejected.
Mr. Bercow.
Order! If the Right Honourable and Honourable presenters refuse to cease this line of questioning, order, then I will be forced forthwith to eject you from the studio. Order!
We haven't even asked you a question.
Order! No dilation, and that's not sexist, sweet cheeks. This is a flagrant... Order! A flagrant... Order! Lack of respect towards the Speaker, which will not be tolerated in this chamber, nor any other. Order!
Mr. Bercow, some would argue that you enjoy this attention a little bit too much, and that the power is somewhat going to your head.
Never in my life have I been... Order! Have I been faced with such brazen impertinence and effrontery? You are banned from this studio. Out, get out.
Fine, if you're here, I'd rather be anywhere else. Goodbye.
Kearney will present the rest of the show on her own. Go on.
No, if John's out, I'm out too. I'm walking out in solidarity. Goodbye.
Well, I never... Order, order, order. As I thought, nobody at Radio 4 can handle the thrusting assertiveness and eloquent spunkery of John Bercow. Bercow, on your airwaves, bringing order to the nation.
BBC Radio 4. Not on your Nelly, Sonny Jim.
Who are you?
I'm the big dog round here. You think you've got a big booming voice? Check this out. BBC Radio 4, hell yeah!
Sorry, I'll be off.
And now, thought for the day.
Hello, I'm Hugh Edwards, the comfort blanket of news. With this special report on the historic America-North Korea summit in Singapore. The day here began with the two leaders greeting each other.
I'm very pleased to meet you, Mr. President.
That was Kim Jong-un's words being translated into English.
Kim. Meeting me is the greatest moment of your life. Because I'm the best statesman of all time. And people who say I'm not, who don't even exist actually, because everyone agrees with me, they're total fake news. Sad, so, so sad.
Hello, I am a narcissistic jerk.
A Now, that was President Trump's words being translated into English. The two men began their bilateral discussions. Trump briefly emerged to speak to reporters.
You know, it's all going great, really great. Erdogan, Putin, Kim Jong-un. I've never met a repressive dictator I didn't like. So much nicer than no good bum Justin Trudeau. I mean, seriously, you know, Canada's the kind of loser country where a guy asks first before touching a woman's nuclear button.
And then it was time for the historic handshake. Trump spoke to reporters immediately afterwards.
Mr. President, what's your assessment of what just happened here?
It was so good. I put my hand out. He put his hand out. We shook him up and down. I put my knuckle on top, little jiggly wiggly, great handshake. I'd say it wasn't as long as my best handshake with that stumpy French dude, but also less clammy than the one with that British skeleton lady. Overall, I won the handshake fair and square, and that's diplomacy.
The historic summit ended with many claiming North Korea coming out way on top.
You know, America, yes, has agreed to lift sanctions. Yes, America has agreed to end all military exercises in the region. Yes, America has agreed to hand over Scarlett Johansson's phone number. But only because in return North Korea agreed to totally denuclearize. That's right. And you, the American people, will be able to verify that by looking up and seeing them all in the sky above you as you run, screaming, for the shelters. And I'm not called the greatest deal maker for nothing.
People of Britain, this is your Prime Minister, hanging on like a raccoon on a Minnesota skyscraper. I would like to begin by paying tribute to Philip Lee, who resigned from the government this week. I'd like to, but like the rest of the country, I have no idea who he was. I did Google him, but I just found an entry for the popular half-blind singing duo Peters and Lee. So it wasn't a complete waste of time. Now, I want to set the record straight. There is no truth to claims I only won Tuesday's Brexit vote through deception. As if lies would play any part in a winning Brexit strategy. I have been accused of securing support by telling both the Remainers and the Brexiteers just what they wanted to hear. Look, if I, as Prime Minister, was in the habit of telling people what they desperately want to hear, I would have announced my resignation long ago. My resolve to see Brexit through was strengthened the other evening when I watched a fascinating programme on the television entitled The Walking Dead. It featured heroic zombies shuffling forward, unaware they were already dead, carrying on as if nothing had happened. Talk about a window into my world. These brave zombies fought off the evil humans to shuffle forward towards their goal, which was to deliver, in their view, a better world full of more zombies. And that is what we'll do. As every last car manufacturer flees the country, as every bank shifts its operations to Frankfurt, as every New Look, Pound World and House of Fraser store on the high street closes, just like those zombies, we will keep soldiering on through the Brexit shambles till hell freezes over. And of course, since zombies eat brains, at least David Davis will be safe.
Coming soon, the latest collaboration between Hugh Grant and Ben Whishaw. It's a cultural crossover between two of their best-loved projects, and much like their recent drama, it centres on a forbidden relationship.
You can stay in here for a while until I sort out your national insurance card.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thorpe.
You're welcome, Paddington.
Mr. Thorpe, why are you still in my bedroom?
Don't look so scared. You're like a frightened little bunny.
I'm a bear.
Yes, you are. I like bears.
What's that Vaseline for? Are we going to make marmalade?
Sure, sure, well, whatever you want to call it. Now, jump up on all fours. There's a good chap.
Hugh Grant and Ben Whishaw star in A Very Peruvian Scandal.
I'm sorry, Paddington, but you have to move on now. All you do is lie in bed all day eating marmalade.
Mr. Thorpe, I'm terribly sorry about all the clumsy things I did, like flooding the bathroom and telling everyone who'll listen about our homosexual relationship.
Yes. Well, goodbye, Paddington. Goodbye forever.
Silence in court.
Mr. Paddington, what is your charge against the accused?
Jeremy Thorpe hired a hitman to kill me. It wasn't very nice at all. Luckily, he only shot one of the children I live with. But it could have been me.
These are outrageous lies. I don't even know this bear.
I have letters to prove that we were lovers. Dear Aunt Lucy. Oh, sorry, wrong letter.
You're misleading the court, Bear. You're going down.
Oh, cripes, not again.
Hello, it's me, serious landmark broadcaster Joan Bakewell. I've tackled the complexities of morality on my Radio 4 series, Inside the Ethics Committee. But now, I'm moving on to a subject that to most Radio 4 listeners is even more perplexing and disconcerting. So join me as I present the Radio 4 Listener's Guide to the World Cup of Football. This is a thorough explainer for people who hear the words, "Now here's Gary with the sport," and immediately go and brush their teeth. You may have noticed the signs of a World Cup happening. People saying things like, "For real, though, Russia absolutely slaughtered Saudi Arabia." And thought, "Oh no, the war in Syria sounds bleak." You may have seen cars going past with little flags flying from them and thought, "Goodness, there's a lot of foreign dignitaries out today." And why are so many of them paying a state visit to Lidl? They're not ambassadors, and they're there to pick up lager and a big telly from that strange aisle in the middle of the store. If you're English, I'm afraid the World Cup experience will be fairly painful. On the other hand, if you're Scottish, Welsh or Irish, the whole thing promises to be absolutely hilarious. So don't be afraid to tune in and watch an episode. Remember Gary Lineker? You liked him. He had a kind face and those lovely short shorts. He doesn't play anymore. He talks instead.
Good evening and welcome to Russia 2018. I've got a new pale lilac shirt and my tan is this special shade to celebrate the new Walker's barbecue rib flavour.
And the man sitting next to Gary, the one who looks a bit like a crumpled terrier, that's Alan Shearer. Yes, he looks different. They've shaved his head and made him wear a suit, like if Samson and Delilah was set in Biker Grove.
Yeah, I'm here to offer expert analysis of things you might have missed on the pitch, like he's taken the ball, he's run with it, and he's kicked it in the back of the net, and that, for me, is a goal. No, but seriously, though, you're welcome.
The captain of the England team is called Harry Kane. He seems much too nice to be a footballer.
To be here at the World Cup is just a dream come true, really. When I got told I was captain, I thought it was a dream come true. And then to be in Russia, have my own hotel room and, you know, a bus that says England on the side. That's dream come true, really. I'm just hoping for more of my dreams to come true now. Like the one I had about the giraffe on roller skates. If that came true, well, yeah, it'd be a dream come true, really.
The World Cup on the BBC. I'm pretty sure it's started, but check the Radio Times. If there's some men under 40 on the front cover, that means it's now. Welcome to Newsnight. I'm Kirsty Wark. I'm dancing in the dark with you between my arms, barefoot on the grass, listening to our favourite song. More on that story later. The government is to relax immigration rules to allow more non-EU doctors to come and work for the NHS. I'm joined now by Sajid Javid.
Kirsty, can I just say, as the son of a Pakistani bus driver, hello.
There have also been reports this week about other highly skilled legal migrants to the UK still being dragged through the courts and threatened with deportation. How do you feel about your Home Office treating people in this way?
Well, I have to admit, it makes me, as the son of a Pakistani bus driver, immensely proud.
Proud?
Well, absolutely, because it proves that even someone from a background like mine that is both humble and ethnic can, with dedication and hard work, become every bit as much of a heartless Tory bastard as anybody else.
Sajid Javid, thank you.
As the son of a Pakistani bus driver, I'd like to say you're welcome.
And as the daughter of a Scottish school teacher, I'd like to say, away and bile your head, you wee ball bag.
You're watching BBC One. Enjoy it now before it becomes back-to-back Tunisia versus Panama whenever you turn the bloody TV on. Now it's time for Sexy Archers, or, as it's more commonly known, Poldark.
Oh, Ross Poldark, you must be boiling hot in that big, thick winter coat.
I am fine, Demelzer. I have important news.
You sure you don't want to take it off? Maybe pop your T-shirt off as well while you're at it?
Never mind that. I have matters of great import to...
Oh, hello, Ross. Big coat you've got on. Let me take that from you.
No, Reverend Whitworth. Stop this. I don't need to be taking my shirt off. I'm a serious actor. With serious story... Blimey, why is it so hot in here?
Just popped a couple more logs on the fire. Thought you wouldn't mind.
Ross, I think there's a wasp in your shirt. Quick, take it off.
For the last time, I shan't remove my shirt.
Ross, quick word. People don't watch Poldark for the storylines. They watch it to see you naked from the waist up, to see you stroll out to the sea all sopping wet and lovely with your glistening abs. So let's get back to what you do best, shall we? And see if we can get us a nice little season 5 pay rise. Yeah?
Demelza, the winds of change are approaching. And those winds of change have blown off my shirt and my pants. To the baby oil mine.
BBC Radio 4. For those early risers at 5:45 a.m. tomorrow, there's Farming Today with Anna Hill and Toby Field. Guess it must have been Susan Tractor and Alistair Silage's day off. But now on Radio 4, we've a new series of The Reunion.
Hello, I'm Sue McGregor. So stop slouching and sit up straight. You're not listening to Saturday Live now. Today, as usual, we're reuniting two people who hopefully won't get along at all. We have television panellist and wasp-chewing dragon lady, Germaine Greer. Hello! And today we're reuniting her with 60s icon and feminist iconoclast, Germaine Greer.
G'day.
Can I turn to young Germaine first? Why did you agree to come on this show?
I'm here to discuss my new book, The Female Eunuch. It's all about empowerment and women having control of their destinies away from male domination. It's bonza.
God, that book sounds like a load of hippie crap. You should read my new book. It's called Lie Back and Spread 'Em, Girls. After all, you married him.
Talking about women should have control over their bodies and men should not force their sexual fantasies on them.
I think you'll find that a man forcing himself on you is just a handshake gone awry. Suck it up, ladies. Give the fellas a break. Young Germaine, I can see you don't agree with that.
It sickens me to hear this puppet of the establishment talking like that. Next, she'll be saying that women should tolerate harassment in the workplace.
Tolerate? They should be grateful.
I can't believe you just said that. I hope I never turn out like you. I'm leaving.
touch your what? Guarantee you she's not getting enough. Know what I mean, Sue? No, I don't. I'm Sue McGregor, and I'm perfect.
Hello, and welcome to This Week. I'm Andrew Neil, brought to you by the Jim Henson Children's Television Workshop. Coming up on the show, we've got a stick of celery that eats itself alive, a man who's married a bungalow for tax purposes, and Diane Abbott!
Andrew, have a care. Your dismissiveness has not become you. I will screw up my face in your direction if you persist in such mockery.
Diane, if you or Jeremy Corbyn want to avoid mockery, it's a bit late. 90 of your MPs defied Jeremy Corbyn's Brexit three-line whip last night. 5 Labour MPs also resigned their post. It's a complete mess.
On the contrary, Andrew, it's all part of Jeremy's cunning plan. By creating this utter chaos, he has successfully kept Jazzfest out of the news for a whole day. Jazzfest is a personal embarrassment upon his perceived infallibility and should be buried at all costs.
Well, I've just heard that we've got an incoming message from an empty field somewhere in England.
Diane, are you alone?
No, I'm on This Week with Andrew Neil.
Close enough. Look, Diane, we've had another few hiccups with the concert. Stormzy's turned down our generous appearance fee of 3 marrows and 8,000 tickets to the concert. And we've discovered the meat feast so deliciously meaty, proper meaty burgers John McDonald found are not vegan.
Oh, no! What are you going to do, Jeremy?
Not a problem. I'm going to announce that under my government, Len McCluskey's birthday will be a national holiday.
Brilliant. The outrage will completely push Jazzfest off the headlines.
We don't call it Jazzfest anymore, Diane. It is the Hillary Benn experience. Call it out.
Well, Andrew, I trust that you will be accompanying me to the festival.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it for the world. So, joining me in a field full of empty chairs will be some disappointed Labour activists, Owen Jones with sunburn, and Diane Abbott!
Oh, wonderful stuff. That was Too Much Heaven from 1979. So, is it true that no one gets Too Much Heaven no more? Or was it just fake news from our BG friends? And talking of weirdos with big teeth, the big news is that I'm taking over from Matthew Wright on Channel 5. Wow, I have my new producer in the studio. Carol, what are you calling the show? You need a pun, a really good pun. The Wright stuff, that's a tough one to follow.
Oh, right.
We've got Dave from Rotherham on the line. What should we call my new show?
I was thinking you could call it The Vine Stuff.
Dave, that's not even a pun. You've just replaced Matthew's surname with mine. Which would be fine if I was Jeremy Bright, but I'm not, am I?
No.
Come on. Sue from Solihull.
What's my Vine?
Better, but it sounds like I'm doing it with Una Stubbs. Una. Right. So, Carol the producer, what are we calling it?
We haven't really given it much thought.
Oh, come on, call yourself a producer. Just in the last 48 hours, I've come up with Vine Club, Cloud Vine, Vine of the Times, I heard it through the grapevine, Danger Vine Field, the Vine Intervention, Pearls Before Vine, Vine Chiller, the Bottom Vine. That's a bit rude, that one.
Jeremy, look.
Not finished. The Trail of the Lonesome Vine. The Fog and the Vine is all vine, all vine. It could work.
It's insane.
Let's get those t-shirts printed. And now, here's REO Speedwagon. And I just can't fight that feeling anymore.
Hello, this is Theresa May. I can't come to the phone right now as it's all the way across the other side of the room and I probably won't be Prime Minister by the time I get over there. Please leave your message after the beep.
Hello, Prime Minister. David Davis here, your Brexit bulldog. The master negotiator. Apologies again about last week's little wobble. All that almost resigning on a matter of principle. Sorry, but I had to draw the line somewhere. Booking me into a hotel that only did a continental breakfast was to me tantamount to a war crime. Truth be told, PM, I've been a bit disillusioned of late. I've been wondering if it's worth it, sacrificing our motor, banking and technology industries for having blue passports. But then, like a bolt from the blue, along came Wetherspoons and their pledge to stop selling bottles of French champagne. Well, that noble example of British pluck got me back in the game. So, I decided to call on my old army training. I organised an SAS-style survival away day training exercise inspired by Mr. Wetherspoon. I got together a crack troop of plucky Brexit MPs. Bodger, Crazy Nadine, Eight Ball, One Eye, Scarface and Ian Duncan Smith. Under cover of darkness, we parachuted into the middle of nowhere, Solihull. On a mission to survive 48 hours on nothing but our wits and by buying only British. Long story short, PM, we're desperate. Bodger died of exposure near Ryman's. We tried to help him stave off the cold, but Millett's only stocked sleeping bags made in China. Then we lost a couple of the lads in Sainsbury's. Went in for supplies, came out with a scented candle. Weakened by lack of food and water, we crawled up the high street, but only made it as far as Holland and Barrett when we were ambushed by a team of charity chuggers. This was no accident, PM. They knew we were coming. We were sold down the river by that bloke in Superdrug. On we went, heads down, hunger making us go crazy. I hallucinated a huge jar of Marmite by W.H. Smith's, but it was only a traffic warden. Long story short, I'm in a tent by Oxfam with the survivors, and we're playing Russian roulette with a bar of Toblerone. I can feel myself weakening. I know it's Swiss, but it's either that or eating Ian Duncan Smith. Send help. Brexit Bulldog out.
Dead Ringers was performed by John Colshaw, Lewis MacLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Harve, Ed Amston and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, Sarah Gibson, Alex Hardy and Duncan Wisby. It was a BBC Studios production and the producer and creator was Bill Dare.